The Lord be with you.
And
read it from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus said to his disciples, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven. Everyone who listens to these words of mine and acts on them will be like a wise man who built his house on rock. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. But it did not collapse. It had been set solidly on rock. Everyone who listens to these words of mine but does not act on them will be like a fool who built his house on sand. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and buffeted the house. And it collapsed and was completely ruined." The Gospel of the Lord. Fifth chapter of Lumen Gentium, which is, according to many, the most important dogmatic constitution in Vatican II, is the universal call to holiness. Put in layman's terms, it means that all of us are called to become saints. Irrespective of our vocation, we're all called to become saints. And our sanctity does not depend simply on feelings. And that's the parable that Jesus gives us today. You have the house built on rock and sand. Someone simply bases his life on feelings. He is, as we say in New York, cruising for a bruising, which means you're heading for trouble. You just base your life on feelings. That's very dangerous. Very dangerous. Well, I'll give you an example. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane didn't feel very good. Not at all. He sweat blood. But he prayed even more fervently. So Jesus didn't depend upon feelings. But he, what did he do? The will of God. So our sanctity does not depend upon feelings. Feelings is like the weather. Okay, remember yesterday it was raining? Now the sun's coming out. Our feeling can be compared to the change of climactic conditions, which are very unpredictable. So our sanctity depends upon one thing. Are you listening?
Yes.
Discerning God's will and carrying it out. That's holiness. Discerning God's will and carrying it out. That's why Jesus says, not all those who say, "Lord, Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven, but those who do the will of my Heavenly Father. Some of you have heard of Maximilian Kolbe. Maybe some of you have read some of his writings. He says that sanctity is capital W and small w. Capital W, the will of God, aligned to small w, our will. So, capital W, small w. God's will, our will. So constantly we have to be asking ourselves, am I in the will of God? There is, in the Diary of St. Faustina, the shortest number in St. Faustina is, she has W crossed out, her will crossed out so that she could do the will of God. Jesus said in the Our Father, "Give us this day our daily bread." We have in the Our Father a perfect prayer in which Jesus is trying to present to us the importance of doing the will of the Heavenly Father. Okay, so that being said as a foundation, how can we know God's will? Okay, the clearest way to know God's will is the example taken from the rich young man. The rich young man, very enthusiastically, he runs to the Lord and says, "Lord, what must I do to get to heaven?" And Jesus says very clearly, "Obey the commandments." And Jesus gives a list of commandments. So the first sign of doing God's will is knowing God's commandments, but putting them into practice. Knowing God's will and putting them into practice. So it's incumbent upon us not only to know the Ten Commandments, but the interpretation of the commandments. Therefore, it's incumbent upon us to study the commandments. And probably one of the best ways to do that is to go through the Catechism of the Catholic Church, which it's long, but explains the Ten Commandments in great detail. So if we want to do God's will, the commandments. You give the baptismal talk. Basically, 99% of the people don't know them. Right, Michael? Obviously. Teresa gives it in Spanish. 99% of the people cannot even name the Ten Commandments. So all of you who are here are called to be catechists. That would be a good thing at your Christmas party. You're sitting down at the table. Ask, can you tell me the Ten Commandments, okay? Well, at least two of them. That'd be a great conversation. Invite me over. That'd be a great conversation. What do you think? Okay, can you name the Ten Commandments? Okay, name. Then ask, okay, what commandment do you know? Well, okay, well, thou shalt not kill. Okay, let's talk about the interpretation of that, okay? Abortion, euthanasia, embryonic experimentation, getting drunk, you know, overeating. Whoa. All those are against the fifth commandment, if you really go deep into it. Hating someone, not forgiving, driving fast on the freeway, drunk driving. Well, Father, I didn't know that. Well, that's why we're giving the homily today, right? Is the commandment, you have a few words, but the interpretation is almost endless. You're not willing to forgive someone, you're breaking the fifth commandment. You take your son or daughter to see a bad movie, you're breaking the fifth commandment. That's called scandal. Father, I didn't know that. Well, now you know it. See the commandments. How can we put in practice commandment? We don't even know the interpretation. So it's incumbent upon us, we got to study. We have to have literate, articulate Catholics that know their faith and are able to express it. Okay, that's the bare minimum. Then you have to ask yourself, am I fulfilling my vocation in my state of life? That's the second one. First commandments, then your vocation. Your vocation. For example, I have a double vocation. So I examine myself on two different things. I have a double vocation. You know what it is? I'm a priest. Hopefully you know that, okay? Okay? I'm a priest, so I examine myself on my obligation as a priest. Am I living out my priestly vocation? Daily examine on that, constantly. But I also have, say for example, you go to the church St. Irenaeus, which is about a mile away, in another diocese. You have priests there that you have one vocation of priesthood. But you go to Holy Family and St. John of God, you got the priests like me. They're Filipino priests, we belong to the religious life. So there's a double vocation there. So I examine myself on my priestly vocation, but then on my vows and my founder and my charism, my community life. So it's a double vocation, a double grace, but a double responsibility. Pray for us. Okay, how many people here have children? How many people here are married? Okay, so you have to examine yourself on that vocation. Are you the best parent in the world? Hello? I can't hear you. Of course you're not. And I'm not the best priest in the world. Of course you're not. Should you be trying to improve? Of course you should. Okay, say a mother has a child or a teenager, hasn't taken that child or teenager to confession for more than a year. You're derelict in your obligation as a parent. Don't get angry at me, but you are remiss. You're negligent. You're derelict. How is your 11-year-old kid going to go to confession? He can't drive yet. He can't walk through Hawaiian Gardens at 11 o'clock at night. They've got the cholos there. He can't do that, no? You're derelict. And many children come into confirmation. They haven't gone to confession for 4 years since their first communion. That's terrible. That's terrible. So I think if we really examine our conscience on our vocation, don't get angry at me, I think we got probably a lot of sins of omission. Children that come into confirmation, they can't even make the sign of the cross. They can't even pray the Our Father. Who is responsible for that? Hello? Parents! A week ago I had my nephew and his wife come in to celebrate their 10th anniversary. They've got 4 kids. She's expecting her 5th. She'll have 5 children in 7 years. Amen, yeah? I hope she has 10 kids, okay? Her first was able to pray the rosary when he was 2 years old. Two and then 2 days. We'll give him 3. Not bad, huh? Where did that little kid, where did the little Mikey boy learn how to pray the rosary? Hello? Obviously his parents. Parents, I mean, they're really struggling. You got 4 or 5 kids. And one of them is really rambunctious. I thought that she was going to burn their church down during my mass, no? But the fact that that little kid could pray the rosary at 2 years, those are good parents. They're teaching their children the importance of loving God. Okay, so that's the second, is commandments, state of life. Okay, then the third is this. It's more subtle. How can you sometimes discern it's God's will in more delicate things? Okay, you have to have a spiritual director. You know, you're coming to the Oblate Parish, right? You have to have a spiritual director. Because there are some things that are not very clear. Now, for me, one of the most difficult things is to discern between good, better, and best. Hello? That's hard. Because you got something that's good. But you got something that's better. And there's something that's best between better and best. I'm not sure. Therefore, if you have a spiritual director, what do? You talk it out, you pray the Holy Spirit, aha! What you thought is better is not. So through your discernment and spiritual direction, you arrive at God's will. So that's the message today. Not all those who say, Lord, 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 will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who discern the will of God and carry it out. Those are those who love God. Let's pray for that grace today. Be courageous enough to study the commandments a little bit better. Me too. Study the commandments a little bit better. To examine your state of life. Could you be a better mother? I think you could. Could you be a better father? You could probably improve. Work on that. And then those more subtle inspirations, talk it out with your spiritual director. If you can do those three things, you're on the highway to heaven in trying to carry out the will of God. Amen.